Welcome to Culture, Talent, and Growth. Join Anish Shah and the Ruckus team as they invite dynamic leaders to share what they've learned about creating lasting culture, attracting great talent, and achieving sustainable growth. Let's get started.
First of all, Grace, thanks for having me. Obviously excited to chat again. For those who don't know, Grace and I have chatted before we got on here. So she's just a lovely person, and I'm excited to kind of chat through some of these questions. But like Grace said, Christina Benseth, growth marketing over at Interstellar, which is a fairly early stage company. We're a team of 13 now, officially as of today. And we're basically a prospecting and outreach platform for recruiters and sellers. So we're building a really cool piece of technology, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. And as Grace alluded to, I also run the SDR team here. So outbound is our thing, and I've come up with our framework that really works for us in setting meetings, especially right now. So excited to chat through it.
Awesome. So first, let's start a little bit with your journey. So how did you start your career, and what were some of your first professional roles?
Oh, man. So this is going to sound like I'm all over the place, but there is a story here. First of all, let me just give you a preface here. I fully believe that if you think you want to be somewhere, you can make it happen. So that's, I mean, just huge in my life. I started out in the military for 4 years as a medic, completely different than being in marketing and sales. When I got out, I went back to school and finished my undergrad, landed an internship in HR at a really large third-party logistics company. And so I actually cut my teeth working as an HR recruiting practitioner for the first 5-6 years of my career, both on, you know, internal teams and external teams, before I ended up making a switch into content marketing. And so it's kind of funny because I was writing for about a year before I made that switch while I was still a recruiting practitioner. And I think that really just helped me kind of have some demonstrable success in being able to pivot, but spent time in content marketing, built a content marketing team and a program from scratch over 2 years at a Series A funded startup that is now a C funded startup, which is kind of exciting to see. And then I went more into full stack marketing. So I led marketing for a robotics process automation consultancy, which is completely different. And then I went back into the HR tech world with my former company, had some funding issues at the end of last year, and found myself at Interstellar in January. And so what's interesting, though, is that the last year, and not really the last year at this point, because I've been in growth marketing since July, I actually spent a full year as an AE. So I literally just did sales for a full year. And I think what happened is it's helped me better define where my strengths are and where I want to be. And it also enabled me, I think, to be a better marketer, you know, coming back into the marketing scene. So very different, very weird career path here.
I think it like goes full circle. There's a lot of skills that you've learned, perhaps being AE or other of your past roles that add up and probably make you be better, a better marketer now, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just think there's some things I can do. I think my relationship with our sales team is stronger because I've been in their shoes and I just know how to better support and enable them, you know, without this whole marketing generating leads and sales isn't taking those leads and doing what they need to do with them. And it's like this huge battle. We don't really see that here at Interstellar. So
could you share your best practices in order to keep your sales and marketing teams in sync?
Yeah, I think it starts with the top level goal. You know, if everyone has the same shared goal between those two departments, it makes it easier. And so what I mean by that is revenue, right? So revenue is the, obviously sales is driving more revenue and there's a revenue target to hit. And for me, it's really important that marketing is very much aligned with that. And so what ends up happening, and I have a sticky note by my desk and it says, drive revenue, not MQLs. And simply, I'm not just trying to generate huge volumes of leads here. We have a target market, we have a target account list, and we are all working towards the same goals, which is booked meetings. And for them on the sales team, it's closing those booked meetings. So, you know, I think what happens is it helps me to scale back and think about what activities I'm focusing on in marketing and really prioritize, like, is this marketing activity foundational? Is this what we need to be doing? Which is a whole different category for brand and awareness. But is this an activity that is going to get us closer to our goal as a company and as a team between marketing and sales? So I think that's how, you know, alignment happens, is having that same target that you're trying to hit.
Yes. Basically speaking the same language, right? Look, you're both prioritizing revenue or something that's bringing that content that is driving that. That's awesome.
Yep. Absolutely.
Talking a bit more about what types of projects you've been before, what are some of the most interesting projects from a growth perspective that you've been part of for the last couple of years?
Oh, goodness. I really like strategy, but I'm also a very tactical person, which usually most people, from what I've heard from leaders in the past, are one or the other. And I find myself constantly battling between strategy time and tactical time because A, it's a startup life, and B, I just enjoy both. You know, I always want to be a player coach. I think what's been really cool for me, one of the things that I got to work on in the last year and a half was a product hunt launch. There's so much you have to do leading up to launching. There's so much you need to do during to make it successful. And then there's this whole like post launch follow-up. So I think that's really cool. And I really just like working on projects with other departments, kind of like a go-to-market team, right?
Can you tell us a bit more about the Outbound to Fire framework and how marketers and sales teams can benefit from it?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. I mean, listen, 2020 has been an interesting year for everyone. We, just like any other sales teams and any other companies, everyone had some sort of pivot in February, March, April, where we were all just trying to figure out, like, what does continued business look like? What does continued success look like? Should we not be messaging people? Should we be messaging people? What should that message look like? I mean, I think we all kind of went through those same sets of emotions. And some people, listen, they ceased reaching out because they just didn't think it was the right thing to do. What we did is we pivoted. And so we started running this really personalized approach. And I started doing a lot of testing, like, that most people probably aren't going to buy right now. How can I get more quality conversations on the calendar sales team to make sure that things are still moving and that we're top of mind? So I think, first of all, what kind of shifted there was, instead of thinking of it in terms of booked meetings that are going to lead to sales conversations, it's more, are we getting conversations on the calendar? Not booked meetings, conversations. And so that was kind of our epiphany after 90 days of kind of running this hyper-personalized approach. We saw really great results. And I'm talking, you know, 80%+ open rates. We saw 30%+ reply rates, 10%+ booked meeting rates. We had some campaigns that were as high as 25% booked meeting rates, which is crazy. And instead of starting, you know, continuing this thing of like reaching out to the masses, we started running very, very intimate campaigns of 40 people, 50 people, sometimes even lower. So if you send a message that is engaging or compelling, or, you know, maybe I'm talking about an article that you posted and how it resonated with me, all that you're doing is getting that person to go, this is different. This isn't the same kind of emails I get in my inbox. And then what it does is it turns an outbound lead into an inbound lead, because yeah, you're putting the onus to research on your prospect. They're then going to go through a journey of looking at your website. And so, of course, assuming your website's on point, right, your website to be clear as to who you're selling to, they'll then respond back to you with that context already. You don't have to spell it out for them. So that's kind of the whole philosophy of this Outbound Fire framework.
Sounds great. How can we access the Outbound Fire framework? Where should we all go to get it?
Yeah, well, listen, the point is, if you're an InnerSeller customer now or in the future, you get access to that free. We really believe in partnership and consultation here. So we're constantly helping people, you know, fine tune their messaging. And I do a lot of that. But if you're not, and you go to my LinkedIn page, first of all, feel free to connect, ask questions, whatever. There's a link in my featured article that goes right to the course that I launched back in September. And you could basically have everything through that course if you enroll. There's a couple different ways to get it. If your CEO gives pushback, don't take it as, oh, they just don't believe that you should be doing that. Take it as they need to be educated on why this is a good idea. And if you're working under leadership that is just toxic, that's a whole different story. But if we're talking about just normal pushback, it is also your job to educate your CEO, your leadership on why certain things make sense for the business. Just as much as you may be like, oh, yes, we need a blog. And I know we need a blog. But if you can't really articulate why and what that means for the business and the bottom line, it makes it really hard to get buy-in. And so I think just getting better about that and then just holding strong for what you believe in, those are the most important pieces.
Yeah, always tied it back to some way that they can measure it, right? So either a number or a clear goal. Really good advice. Thank you for that. And this often, thank you for your time. Are there any resources that you use frequently that besides the ones already mentioned that you would recommend to our community?
Yeah, if you're in marketing or sales, you should be a part of the Rev Genius community. And if you search Rev Genius on LinkedIn, trust me, you'll find the information to join there. But it's definitely a really strong community and think tank for sales and marketers and really any revenue generating folks, where you basically have 7,500 other people that are in similar roles, different roles, and you can ideate together, things like that. So I think that place is just a special place to me. That would be number one. And then just connecting with not your typical thought leaders. There's a lot of great people that put a lot of great content out, but connect with people who are in your shoes or in the shoes of where you want to be, where you aspire to be, and build authentic relationships and get yourself some mutual mentors too. You know, I have two or three people I talk to on a monthly basis, and I hate to say that they're mentor relationships. Sometimes they're therapy sessions, but if you're talking to other people who are working in different startups and in somewhat similar roles or overlapping roles, it makes it really easy to kind of bounce ideas off of each other, have a sounding board, especially if you don't have another marketing leader or person that you're working with in your current org.
Thanks for tuning in to Culture, Talent, and Growth. If you found value in this conversation, please leave a review, subscribe, and share this episode with a friend. You can visit bringruckus.com for more ways to connect. And remember, new episodes come out on Tuesday.